This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Our word today comes from our devotional message, Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, but we're going to read just verses 12, 13, and 14. Exodus chapter 12, verses 12, 13, and 14. When you find it, say amen.
Amen.
Begin reading now. Amen. Do you know the reason we're doing this is because God has ordained and in covenant relationship commanded that we honor this sacrifice forever. Why? Because it is a signal, it is a sign, it predated and focused on His only begotten Son. This really is to show the reality of what Jesus Christ Himself would do for all mankind who would receive Him, as He gave Himself to provide the blood necessary to save mankind. I think it's important for you to recognize, my brothers and sisters, that something happens when God sees the blood. Something happens when God sees the blood. Look at Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. Turn there, please, quickly. I need you to understand what happens with this blood. And yet there is a miracle yet unexplained when God sees the blood. He just tells you how important this blood is. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Begin reading now. Don't rush too fast. What did it say? One more time. Keep reading. Wow. If you don't understand why blood is required, it is because it is important to the process of you being made whole, clean, or straightened out, if you will, with God. In other words, we need to investigate a little more clearly, because a whole lot of folk take communion and they don't really understand how it plays into the fact that Jesus didn't want us to forget this, and that we should keep on doing this every time we do it, whether it's every day, every week, every month, once a year, whenever we do it, as long as we keep on doing it, we will not forget the awesome price that Jesus paid for our souls. Without the blood, there is no remission of sins. Without the blood, there is no payment for sin. Without the blood, there cannot be any redemption of sin. And so it's important to understand blood has got to be a part of this sacrifice. Now, you heard in the beginning of Exodus 12, verses 1 through 11, and then we read 12, 13, and 14. But what I need you to understand, and I'll just kind of go over it very lightly. I'm not going to go into it. You have the scriptures. But Jesus is, again, the actual reality of this Passover experience. It started here because God already had Jesus in mind when this took place. And so in the Old Testament, it was things that had to die. But in the New Testament, it was a person that had to die. There were a whole lot of things, animals, rams, doves, turtle doves, goats, rams, heifers, sheep. All of that had to die for people, mankind, to live. Now, what's interesting is, just as in Jesus, the sacrifices didn't sin. But they had to die. Why? Because they had the blood that was required for payment. Now, if God would have taken our blood, then we would have been saved, but we'd have been dead also. So he took the blood as payment, but it wasn't our blood. And he reminded us that the life of the flesh is where? In the blood. So he can sacrifice flesh for flesh. He can substitute flesh for flesh. He can substitute blood for blood. But we had to realize something had to die for us to live. Keep this in mind now. So when you realize this, it tells you in the Exodus narrative that you have to take a lamb on the 10th day and live with him for 5 days from the 10th to the 14th. So you realize what was happening here was the lamb had to be without spot or wrinkle or blemish. It had to be a perfect lamb. One of the reasons why they wanted you to keep the lamb with you in your house, which is what they did when they took the lamb, perfect lamb, from the rest of the sheep. They brought the lamb into the house to make sure that nothing happened to that lamb after it had been selected, that that lamb would live in the house with them. Listen now. So that they would get to know that lamb, that that lamb would become for that week a part of their family. They would feed that lamb, tend to that fam, that lamb. That lamb would intermingle with the family. The children would play with the lamb. That lamb became a part of the family. Affections and feelings became connected with that lamb. So it was important to realize that you weren't just killing something that you had no connection with, but you were killing something that you had become attached to. So after recognizing that the time came for you to kill the lamb, you felt something, if you had any heart at all, that this precious, unsuspecting lamb was about to die so you could live. The lamb didn't sin. The lamb was perfect. The lamb did no wrong. The lamb did no harm. But the lamb had to die because you needed the lamb's blood. Then you had to take the lamb's blood and put it on the doorpost and on the lintel, so that the night when the Lord's Spirit would pass by, it, when it saw the blood, as it says in the word, when I see the blood, I will pass over. Thus we get the word, the Passover. And again, I need to remind us that no matter who was behind the door with the blood, they got saved. Let me put something on your mind. If Pharaoh's oldest son would have been behind the door, spending the night in the Egyptian home, he would have been saved. If Pharaoh himself would have been behind the blood, he himself and all of his gods would have been saved. Why? Because God didn't go inside the house. When he saw the blood, he just passed over. He didn't go looking for the sinner. It could have been a murderer, a rapist, a robber, a thief, a backslider, a liar. It didn't matter who was behind the door. I'm trying to help you see this. If they were behind the blood, they got saved. That's why it don't matter who you are and what you've done. If the blood of Jesus covers your life, God is not looking to call your sin out, but to save your soul. And he'll pass over all of the bad that you've done because he sees the good in the blood. Something happens when he sees the blood. First, let me tell you why. When he sees the blood, he sees that the blood is sacred. The blood is sacred. Leviticus 17:11 just told you that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And that for your atonement, it requires blood. The blood of a precious, pure, righteous lamb, without spot, without wrinkle. One that was in his prime, at his best. Why? Because God wanted something worthy. Worthy to pay the price of someone who had done something that was unworthy of God's love. And so it's important to realize when we look at this, that that lamb did something for us we couldn't even do for ourselves. The blood was sacred. But the second thing I need you to see is the blood was sacrificial for the lamb. Now, if God would have said, listen, cut yourself and give me a pint of your blood, that would have been an easy thing to do for us. But here is what God wanted us to know, that it was because we were already messed up. And the blood we had running through our veins was already messed up. Why did he want some messed up blood? You were a sinner. You can't take sinner's blood and cleanse a sinner. That's like cleaning something up with a dirty rag. I don't care how much cleanser you put on the rag, if the rag is still dirty. Yeah, I wish I had a helping out. Then you're going to have a contaminated cleaning. So it had to be something that was precious and pure. And of these animals, listen, who had done no wrong, did not have any sin, that was nothing about them that displeased God. And yet God wanted the best of them, the purest of them, to represent who? His son. Remember, that precious lamb is representing Jesus Christ, his son. So it had to reflect him. And so, my brothers and sisters, it was blood that was sacrificial to God. Sacred to God, sacrificial to God. But thirdly, I need you to know that the blood was salvific, or salvation for the sinner. There was no way the sinner could be saved without the blood. No blood, no salvation. The salvation came through the blood. That's why when we sing like songs like the blood, his healing blood, his delivering blood, his precious blood, all of those things speak to the reality that Jesus Christ's pure blood paid a price for us that we could not pay for ourselves. And listen at this, my brothers and sisters. All we have to do is come to him and accept him as our Savior, the one who stood in our place. In other words, we were in line next to die. Jesus said, excuse me, step to the side. I'm going to step in your place and pay the price. Listen, the precious pure blood of the Lamb was required. And I need you to know, Jesus was willing to pay the price that we could not pay to save our lives. And what he did was, he said, I'll take your place, and instead, you'll take my place. That's why I'm so glad that we now have the position we have. We are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, because here on earth, he took our place. And you don't need to know, if you don't know, that you couldn't do it no matter how good you think you are. I don't care what you tried to do to make yourself worthy. You couldn't do it if you tried. You would not have enough nothing. Not enough nothing to pay the price for your sins. But what you need to realize is something happened when God saw the blood. Can't tell you what happened, because God didn't tell me what happened. All I know is something happened, and now I know he's real. He's real. Anybody know he's real? I cannot tell how you feel and how you felt. But I can tell you something happened to me when he cleansed me, when he changed me, when he transformed me, when he took me out of my sin and placed me in a safe place in his blood. Something happened to me. I can't explain it. All I know is I was changed. Anybody been changed? And that change caused me to love my enemies and love my friends, do right to those who do wrong to me, pray for my enemy. I mean, it caused a change in my heart, change in my talk, change in my walk, change in my life, change in my giving, change in my living. It changed me. And I can't explain it. All I know is something happened. And now I know I've been changed. I said I've been changed. Anybody been changed? I said anybody been changed? Well, let me put it this way. Is anybody being changed?
Is anybody being changed?
Hallelujah.
If you can't say you're changed, you ought to say, at least I'm being changed. I ain't what I used to be, and I'm not yet what I'm gonna be, but I'm sure on my way to becoming what God wants me to be. Any witnesses in the house?
A man wanted to know about this blood, and he read and he researched, and he couldn't figure out what was the power in this blood that caused God to react the way that he did. He thought about the fact that, yes, I would feel some kind of way if my son gave his life for his friend. When my son was pure and holy and righteous, and his friend was not, and my son died in the place of his friend, I'd feel some kind of way as a human father. But I realize that God and his son had planned this. As a human father, I couldn't fathom planning this with my human son. Do I have any real people in the house? No, I'd be talking, no, my son, why do you want to do that? You have your life to live. He has his life to live. He did what he wanted to do. You did not do the same thing. Why should you pay for his sins? Well, you see, some things we can't fathom. It don't make sense to us. But to God, it made perfect sense to him and his son. Why? Because he loved mankind with his whole heart. It was God's chiefest creation. And it wasn't God alone, but it was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit who all created man together. That's why all three of them in one Godhead did their part to redeem mankind when man fell in the Garden of Eden. All three personalities came together in the salvific experience to save God's chiefest creation. Do you know you can't be drawn to the Son unless the Holy Spirit draws you to him? And you can't be saved by the Son unless you come to the cross where his blood was shed. And listen at this. Unless the Son presents you before the Father will not receive you in a right relationship with him. So you got to realize that when this Passover experience happened, God was looking all the way through time. Jesus was still with him in glory when they instituted this Passover. And he's looking through the portals of time and seeing the day when his son Jesus Christ would be hanging on the cross. And so the man didn't understand all of those things at the time. But the Lord showed him him. And he put it like this. He showed God in a courtroom setting. God was the judge. The Holy Ghost was the bailiff. Satan was the prosecuting attorney. Jesus was the defense attorney. And the man himself was the one who was guilty. But he hired Jesus as his lawyer, as his savior, as his advocate, the go-between. And when he told Jesus all his sins, all his shortcomings, Jesus told him, write it down. And he wrote every one of his sins and all of his faults. And he asked him, I know you're my attorney, but you're my savior. Forgive me, Lord, of my sins. And Jesus picked up the paper and he looked at this and he said, I got you. He said, but this is an extensive lift. It's a great cost to pay. He said, I can't pay it. He said, I know. That's why I'm paying it for you. So court day came, and there they were in court. And God called the prosecutor to bring forth his case, and he called the man's name. And he read off some charges that the man didn't have on the list. And Jesus said, Your Honor, you know when a defense attorney objects to something, what does he say? Your Honor, I object. And he said, on what grounds? He said, I was not given this sheet in discovery. I did not have this on my list. So God told the bailiff, the Holy Ghost, to walk over to the prosecutor attorney's desk and get the list. And he told him to give it to Jesus so that Jesus could see the charges.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Good morning.